Pleasure to hand over to Paul and Margaret. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. Oh, that's loud, isn't it? I think the first thing I've done is left my Bible somewhere. No, it's under there. It's good to see you all this morning. I bring greetings from Haddenham Baptist Church, where we worship. It's good to see all the old faces, and I'm getting older as well, and a few new faces as well, people that I've not met, so I look forward to meeting you afterwards over coffee. That would be great. It's good sometimes, isn't it? People sometimes moan, oh, there's lots of announcements. Actually, it's a good sign because there's lots of things happening, and it's really good to hear that there's so much happening here at Cottenham Baptist Church. So I'm really, really pleased to hear that. Has everybody got a slip of paper? Did they get one when they came in about writing? These will be collected sort of later in the service. So if you want to sort of write your prayer needs on there, if you want to do that. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. Or if you want to draw a picture even, that's great. I used to, when I was younger, I used to count the number of feathers on the lady's hat in front of me, which wasn't always the best thing to do. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 95 as we come to worship God. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We continue to worship as we bring a short prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God. I know we all, young and old, it doesn't matter what age, we can always thank God for something. So let's just bow our heads as we pray to him. Father, we thank you that you are indeed a great God. As we've read in that passage, you are God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords. You reign over everything. You created the land and the sea, and everything that we can see has been made by you. What a great creator. Thank you, Father, for all the varieties that you give to us. Thank you for the seasons. Sometimes we complain when it's cold and wet and the winter's coming, but Lord, these are all for a purpose. And you are so good in the way you organize things, in the way you have created things to such perfection, with such variety. We are amazed. And we are amazed too that we can worship this same God, that as we come before you this morning and bow our heads, we can pray to you, we can thank you, we can worship you, we can bring our praises to you. Thank you, Father. Accept our worship and accept us just as we are. In Jesus' name, amen. God is faithful and gives us all the good gifts we see around us. He is faithful even when we are faithless. He's still faithful. And what a faithful God we have. We stand to sing number 894. It's on the overhead. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God. Let's stand. What Sunday is it today? Second in Advent. Did you all know that? How many more Sundays till Christmas? Another two? Who's ready for Christmas? Who's finished all the shopping and who's wrapped the presents and... Oh, one or two people. One or two. Who's written all the cards? Wow. That is brilliant. The young ones are showing us up. We're meant to do this, yeah. David's gonna see about lighting these candles.
Have you had your one yet? Yeah? Have you had your candle? You did last. You're showing out. You did it as well. chair.
Just got a light then.
Are you going to eat that? Don't jump. Just hold that. Now, what you have to do is you have to kind of press that and hold it. So, if we... That's it. Reach, 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 reach.
You're going to have to keep yourself.
Yes. Well done, brilliant. Let's see if you can do that. Push it and hold it forward. Should. That's it.
Have any of the younger children, well, any children or anybody, heard of a man called Isambard Kingdom Brunel?
No.
Oh, some adults have heard and some at the back. And yes. Now, what was one thing that he was famous for? Do you know? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, he did lots of things, really. He was an engineer, but he was responsible for building the Clifton Suspension Bridge, and that's been in the news this week, rather sadly. Now, in a little while, Paul is going to be talking about another person who was a bridge builder, but he was a person in the Bible, and he didn't build bridges out of stone or metal or whatever. He himself was the bridge to bring people together, and his name was Barnabas. Anybody heard of Barnabas?
No.
Yeah. Now, Barnabas, he was a good man, and he was always encouraging people and wanting to please God. Now, can somebody give me a nice definition of the word encourage? What would encourage mean? I think you all know what it means, don't you? But it's sometimes hard to put it into words. Well, I looked up the definition, and it said, where I read, to inspire somebody with the courage or the confidence to do or say something, and to help and support someone to do or say something. Do you think that's about right? I think it probably is just about. Now, when I was thinking about what to say to you all, I realised that Brunel and Barnabas had something in common. Now, this is really cryptic, this is. Any of you who are good at doing sort of cryptic puzzles will perhaps work it out. They had more than bridges in common. And seeing as nobody's got any ideas yet, no? Brunel's middle name was Kingdom. Now, is it all coming together? Yeah? And the connection with Barnabas is that Barnabas had the kingdom in his middle too, in his heart. But that was the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know anything about Kingdom Brunel. Maybe that was true of him too. I don't know. But it was certainly true of Barnabas. Now, I hope you all know the next song. It's called Colours of Day. And it's about how we can encourage people as we go about our daily lives, wherever we are. We don't have to be in a special place. We can still encourage people.
If you have your pew Bibles, I'm reading from Acts chapter 11, which is on page 1105. Acts chapter 11, starting to read at verse 19. It's entitled The Church at Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It's been said that Barnabas is perhaps one of the most attractive characters in the New Testament, apart from Jesus, of course. And I don't know who your favourite character is. I certainly like the guy. All the evidence shows that he was warm-hearted. He was generous. As we've read there, he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And he seemed to have this sort of real gift for seeing the good in other people. He always looked for the good, which would be good for us to do too sometimes. He would spread confidence whenever there was doubt. He would spread oil on troubled waters. And as you probably all know, his name means encourager. Barnabas, the encourager. And sometimes I think it's, when I was thinking of coming here this morning to encourage people, I just want to encourage you this morning in your walk with the Lord. That's what the service is about, really, to encourage you all. As mentioned earlier, he's also been known as a bridge builder. Do you know people like that? People who build bridges between people, who are sort of go between. They're good people to have around, good friends. Because, you know, even churches can go through troubled waters. Even churches can have dissensions and quarrels and things like this. It happens. It's human nature. It's how you deal with it, really, that's the crux of the thing. But you can have personality clashes even within a fellowship. And a Barnabas is therefore so important, a Barnabas to encourage and to build bridges. Did you know there was a gap of about 14 years between in Paul's life, between when he was dramatically converted on the Damascus Road and going on his first journey? 14 years. I said, well, what did he do in those 14 years? What did Jesus do before he was 30? We don't hear a lot, do we? There's gaps in some of the history. We know very little about Paul, what happened to him during this time. But it seems that if it hadn't been for this man Barnabas, the encourager, we might not have heard about Paul at all. We might not have had all the letters in the New Testament. It might not have happened. Paul might have actually been lost to the church had it not been for Barnabas. I've got a word search for the younger ones to do now, just to keep you occupied. It's to find all of Paul's letters in the New Testament. That might take you a minute at least. The first time, I'll carry on talking, because the first time that Barnabas was involved with Paul was when they went to Jerusalem and to meet the apostles. And the apostles were actually frightened because they knew this man Paul, who used to be called Saul, was persecuting the Christians. He was having them put to death. He was that sort of man. Of course they were worried about him coming to see them. They couldn't believe that a man could be changed. A man who had been persecuting and killing the Christians could actually change. And so they were worried about this. He'd been persecuting them. And then he comes to them and says in Jerusalem, I've been converted. I'm a Christian now. And they're like, whoa, is that really true? Perhaps they thought it was a trick. Perhaps they thought he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Paul's attempt to meet the apostles in Jerusalem might never have happened if it hadn't have been for Barnabas. If Barnabas hadn't stepped in, Barnabas, the peacemaker, the bridge builder, the encourager, says, come on, Paul, we're going to Jerusalem. And he knew what the reaction would be in Jerusalem, but he took him and built a bridge between the two sides. He was acting like a Paul sponsor, really, if you like. And it seems to me that Paul wasn't an easy man to get along with sometimes. Even when he became a Christian, he was still a bit of a stick in the mud. He still got very strong ideas. And it couldn't have been very easy sometimes. And then we go for 10 years when we don't hear much about Paul at all. And during this 10 years, the work continued. The work of the early church continued. More and more people, it said in God's word, became believers. And this was mostly in and around Jerusalem, where the converts were probably predominantly Jewish. And then suddenly, there's news comes to Jerusalem about this place called Antioch. And Antioch was a pagan city. How can you get any Christians, anything like that, in a place like that? And the Jews, rightly or wrongly, I think wrongly, but the Jews in Jerusalem are thinking, oh, nothing good can come out of Antioch. What's happening there? Is it another cult or something like that? But the gospel there was being preached to the Gentiles. And the work hadn't been authorised by the apostles in Jerusalem, which is, you know, it's like holding on to authority, isn't it? Keeping hold of things. It happens today as well, sadly. Perhaps they feared the wrong message would be preached there. I don't know. But because of the persecution led by Saul, the believers in Jerusalem had been scattered far and wide. And you and I'd be scattered if someone came in here and said, I'm going to kill you. You won't want to hang around. So the early Christians, they were scattered far and wide. But they'd seized the opportunity, and wherever they went, they preached the gospel. They preached the good news. They settled all over the place, and one of those places was Antioch. And the message there had a strong impact. Maybe if we go to the worst places, if we go to the pagan places in today's society, maybe we'd get the best result. Who knows? It's another thought, isn't it? So the church in Jerusalem said, right, we'll send this man Barnabas, who's the bridge builder and the encourager and so forth, we'll send him to Antioch to investigate what's going on. Now, Barnabas was a Levite. He was a Jew who had been born in Cyprus, and probably because they thought that because of the Greek culture and so on, he'd be a good man to go there. He'd be able to relate to the people in Antioch, which was perfectly true. And of course, when Barnabas gets there, he realises that it's true. That this pagan city of Antioch, people are becoming Christians. The believers and the remaining true to the Lord. It's actually at Antioch that the term Christian was first used. And the fascinating part of the story for me is that because Saul had caused all these early Christians to leave Jerusalem and scatter over a wide, wide area, it was a good thing. It seemed bad at the time. We're all being sent out in different directions. We're all frightened. We're all going all over the place. Saul wanted to quash the message about Jesus, but it spread even further. It's amazing, isn't it? So out of a bad situation, God can bring something good. So because they were all spread everywhere, the good news was spreading everywhere, so a good thing came out of it. Do you find that in your own lives? Do you find sometimes that you go through a bad patch and then something good comes out of it? Because we all go through bad patches, don't we? We all have troubled times. But God is still working in our lives. Maybe losing a job, being made redundant. Illness in the family. Separation. Families being split up. Bereavement. I was reading about Prison Christian Fellowship, a magazine that I get this week, and the work that's being done in prisons. Amazing work. We sometimes think, oh, lock them up. There's amazing work going on in the prisons right now. Alpha courses being held in prisons, people becoming Christians, hardened people, hardened men who are becoming Christians in the prisons of this country. It is amazing. So the first believers didn't all stay together in one community. And in a similar way, we sort of mustn't wait for people to come to us. We need to spread out. We need to move out. We can't expect people to come to us all the time. It may not happen. We need to get out there. The church isn't just a building. It's a lovely building. I love this place. But it isn't just a building. Church is everywhere where Christians are spreading the gospel. People, you and I, are the church. Has anyone finished the word search yet? Looking for all those? Have you? Wow. That is quick. How long did it take you? 3 minutes? 4 minutes? And you found them all? Not straight away. Well, we've got another. Do you want something else? Something else to do? You're not getting off easy this morning. I think this is the one. Is this the one with the word encourage? Yeah? You've got to find as many words. You can make up as many words out of that one word encourage as you can. So list them all down there. You can jumble the letters around whichever way you like and make as many words as you like. It's interesting that Barnabas wasn't the only person or the first person to share the gospel in Antioch. He was sent because God was already at work there. And sometimes we need to think of that. What are we going to do with our lives? How are we going to extend God's kingdom? Where are we going to work? What are we going to do? And sometimes we need to look where God's working. What's God doing? We don't always need to plan new initiatives and new things to spread the gospel. We just need to look and see where God is already at work. I know in from the time we lived in Cotton, we lived here for 30 odd years, and I know then there were lots of things done between the churches over those years. And I remember some things like, was it shed light you used to call it? Shed light, attic, all teenagers together in Cotton. And I'm trying to think of another one now. Cotton churches together. That was another thing that happened, wasn't it? Where's God working? What's he doing today in 2014? Generate. Accelerate. Whatever these words are. What's God doing there? He's doing a lot of things there. He's doing a lot of things in the schools. I don't know about the schools in Cotton. I do know about the schools in Haddonham. And I know there's things happening there. So is that something that you can do? Is that where you think God is working? Can you go and help out there? This is the point. Look around and we're thinking about this at Haddonham too at this time, that it's so easy to think, oh, we must do something new and we must do this, that and the other and let's be innovative and all the rest of it. Sometimes we don't need to. We need to look around. And it might not be in the church. It might be something outside the church building where we're to be involved. I get involved in the local sports and social club in Haddonham because I'm a mad keen table tennis player. That's one good reason, isn't it? And so I go there. But I have conversations there about church. And people come up and say and ask questions about the Bible. And this has happened on more than one occasion. And all I'm doing is sitting there not sitting all the time. I'm playing table tennis as well. But when I'm sitting there, I'm, you know, chatting away. And people there know that I come from church, that I go to church. They know that. And they actually expect me to say something. And they expect you to say something as well, because people know you go. Your neighbours know that where you're going on a Sunday morning. So they're waiting sometimes for us to say something. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? And so often we sort of fight shy. I don't know whether I'm going to say that. I can't say that. Say it. Do it. Whatever. Lots of things happening. Where's God working? The Bible tells us that Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And I know all Christians have the Holy Spirit living in their life, but being full of it, being over the top, if you like, on fire for Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that happens on special occasions too, isn't it? When we really feel, you know, that God is moving, that something's happening in our hearts and our minds. when we know God's talking to us through His Spirit. We know that. Special times. Barnabas was in Antioch. He did much to encourage the church there. Keep looking to the Lord, it says. That's what he was encouraging the church to do. Keep looking to the Lord. And then he left to go and look for Paul in Tarsus. And he brought Paul to Antioch as well. And they ministered there for a year, or about a year. And then, of course, we know in the Bible about Paul's journeys going on after that. But back to Barnabas, every time we read about him building bridges and encouraging people, he built bridges into Jerusalem for Paul, so that Paul could go there without fear. He encouraged him to cross that bridge to meet the other apostles. He built a bridge between Antioch and Jerusalem, because Jerusalem didn't really trust what was happening in Antioch. He encouraged them to meet together in the middle of the road. He fetched Paul to Antioch. And Barnabas was the bridge that enabled the gospel to be spread to Europe. And, of course, down to us as well. We're part of that. We need people like Barnabas in the church today. We need people who can build bridges. We need people who can encourage. We need people to encourage each other. Because the Christian life is sometimes hard. That might seem strange to say, but it is. And we need encouragement. We all need encouragement at times as we walk through our lives, through the Christian life. We need encouragement. We need people to encourage those who are weak. We need people who can truly encourage people coming through those doors, maybe for the first time. And I heard a story yesterday of a guy who'd been going to church for about 11 years, and nobody had really welcomed him. It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's a true story. And he'd gone into the church, and various churches, not the same church, various churches. And he'd gone in, and he'd been given the hymn book, and that's it. Good morning. And when you go into a strange church, you want people to welcome you. You want to be encouraged. You're there for a purpose. So show them in. Show them to a seat. Sit with them. Have a chat with them. Even if the service has started, it doesn't matter. Speak to them, welcome them, encourage them. So that's my prayer for today, really, is God will encourage you. And I pray that he will encourage you. Whatever stage you're at in your Christian life, you may be a new Christian, you may be an elderly Christian like me, or you may be somewhere in between, or you may not be a Christian at all. Maybe you're thinking about it. And all I can do in that situation is to encourage you to speak to someone. Speak to David or to one of the deacons or to the minister or whatever. Speak to someone about it. If you're really serious about becoming a Christian, that would be good. I may not see any of you before Christmas, but I do wish you all a very happy and peaceful Christmas. Enjoy your times with family and friends. Welcome to come for coffee after the service this morning. Let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.